Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Yay, we are firmly in the middle of an election year. I think it's very likely that at some point during this election cycle, we each of us are going to be tempted to view the political process as a contest between the good guys and the bad guys. I think this view of the political process is a fiction. I think it's partially created by the media, and I think it's partially created by our own tendency to think in terms of good versus bad and good guys versus bad guys. But to illustrate what I think is wrong about this good versus bad paradigm, I'm going to spend some time this morning talking about the good versus bad paradigm in politics. I do think there is good versus bad, okay? I'm going to spend some time telling you the story of, some of the story of the Ukrainian Mennonites back in the first half of the 20th century. So, some of the material I'll be using comes from a book called The Constructed Mennonite by Hans Werner, and I'll be quoting some from his mother. His mother was one of the people who lived, who was a Mennonite, who lived in that period during this time. So maybe to set the stage, so Mennonites moved to the eastern parts of Europe way back in the 1700s, and then there was a period of time during Catherine the Great's reign in Russia, which is right at the end of the 1700s, where she invited a bunch of Germans of all sorts into her newly conquered territories to kind of fill the vacuum left by the Turkic nomadic groups that had lived there. And this is top-notch farmland, so they moved down there. She'd given them exemption from military duty, and that's partly why the Mennonites came in such large numbers. So they've been living there for quite a long time. And a bunch of them left in 72 to 74, when the rules changed surrounding military service. But still there were some that stayed behind, and it was kind of a golden age for Mennonite life from about the last part of the 1800s to about the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. So these are big Mennonite colonies. They've been there for a long time. And now things really get ugly in the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution. So you have the communists coming in. There's a lot of fighting back and forth. There's civil war. And the civil war rolls over the Mennonite communities in, I think it's 1919, I think, is when it kind of hits them. And there were some anarchists and different groups that were fighting. They, both sides kind of treated them badly. There were famines that came as a result of that. But in the end, by the early 1920s, you have the communists firmly in control of Russia. And the communists are not just communists, they're atheistic communists. So they don't think there is any God. And they're out to squelch any form of religion. Not only that, they're also out to get rid of private ownership of land. So they want to take the people's land and turn it into these giant collective farms. So right during the middle of these famines, the worst famine in, I think is right in 1920, 1921, somewhere in there, the worst famine, there's a little girl born into a devout Mennonite family. Her name is Sarah Letkeman, and we're going to kind of follow some of her experiences. So she's born in 1920 or 21, somewhere in there. She grows up during this period of time when collective farms are being created out of the privately owned farms. The Mennonites are badly hit by this because Mennonites own a lot of farmland. They're known as top-notch farmers. And her father is no exception. She had, I think he had a fairly small farm, but he was still, suddenly all of his, you know, little empire that he had been creating is taken away. And he's forced to go work kind of as a day laborer on a large collective farm. By the late 1920s, this had really gotten rolling, and collectivization was in full swing. It was during this time that some Mennonites were able to be resettled. MCC had gotten involved in the early famine of 1921, and then later in the 1920s, they got involved again in helping to resettle people who were kind of being persecuted by the communists. And so the German government actually helped resettle some of these Mennonites in other places in the world. I think like Paraguay and some of those areas is when some of these groups went. So that was the late 1920s. Well, It's during this time that the Mennonite religion is really being kind of eliminated. So the Mennonite groups that had been thriving communities were not allowed to meet anymore. So baptisms stopped. They couldn't celebrate Christmas. They couldn't really meet. They did meet some in secret, but really, as a whole, as a community, the Mennonite experience was really changing during this time. So 1930s, the early 1930s, there was a really bad famine created by the Soviet government to kind of kill off a bunch of the Ukrainian upper class or middle class peasants. And it was pretty successful. It hit the Mennonites pretty hard, too. Sarah Letkeman remembers just kind of sitting in a corner with her feet jammed up against her stomach for the whole summer because she was always hungry. So life is really hard for the Mennonites. They're not doing well. They're not being allowed to worship in the same way they had been. And it looks nasty. Well, things relax in the middle of the 1930s. The collective farms kind of get going. The Mennonites are kind of finding their way. Food becomes more plentiful. And the late 1930s, life goes on, even though Mennonitism has been really, in a big way, shut down. And then the war starts, World War II. And in 1941, the unthinkable happens. Germany turns its panzers loose on the Soviet Union. And suddenly, the Germans are coming to Ukraine. And when the Wehrmacht conquers the part of Ukraine where the Mennonites were living, suddenly freedom comes to the Mennonites. They speak German. They're ethnically German. They're seen as part of the master race. Sarah talked about the first time after the first Sunday after the front moved past them, for the first time in a long time, they met in an abandoned school and they had church. And people couldn't even sing. They were crying so hard. This was just this incredibly emotional experience. The first Christmas happens. So the front comes over them in August, I think. So by the end of the year, they celebrate Christmas for the first time. And it's just this intense moment of communal reconnections with past and with their religious fervor. And there's baptisms for the first time in a long time. People are baptized. So there's a whole bunch of people being baptized, including Sarah. But things are darker than that, too. Because they are Germans and they speak German, the Mennonites are preferred by the Nazi government above the Slavic Ukrainians. Sarah Letkeman gets a job cooking for the occupation forces, some of them, the police forces. And the police forces were recruited from the Ukrainian, the Slavic Ukrainians. So the people who are in the Nazi police force in Ukraine are Ukrainians, but they have Mennonite overseers, because the Mennonites are considered their, part of the master race. So these are Mennonite men that Sarah knew. They are overseeing the national police. She's cooking for them. And then in 1942, something much, much worse starts happening, where these men are sent out at night to round up Jews, take them to an unknown place, and shoot them. So this is what Sarah said she saw as part of her job cooking for these people. It was terrible when they came home. They felt terribly badly about what they had to do. So we have Mennonites who have been freed from tyranny by Nazis, and now all of a sudden they're being given privilege status, and now they're part of the Holocaust, on the wrong side of the Holocaust. So, back to my question. Is there a good guy versus bad guy story here between the communists and the Nazis? If you are a Ukrainian Mennonite, it does look like there is a good guy versus bad guy. But suddenly the bad guy looks pretty terrible by the end of the story. And I think that's the big problem with politics, is good guys don't inhabit one side and bad guys the others. We have bad guys versus worse guys often. So The problem is, Christ did give us power to defeat evil, but it's not the power that the Nazis were offering to the Mennonites. It's the conquering cross of Christ that Christ has given us. That's the power. It's sacrificial love. And when we use the wrong power, we can end up very much on the wrong side of history. Now, I don't want you to think how awful those German Mennonites were in Ukraine, because we haven't been in their shoes. We haven't walked a mile in their moccasins. And I think probably we would make decisions that look a lot like what they did. And some of them were courageous. Sarah said, "This is awful. This is wrong. I'm not going to work for the occupation authorities anymore." And she walked away from that. And there were those stories too. So, it's imperative that we not lose sight of the fact that the kingdom of Christ grows through his power, his conquering cross that no kingdom wills to bear. We should not be quick to condemn the suffering Mennonites and the Christians of Ukraine for their actions, but we should be quick to learn from them about the dangers of allying with political ideologies that compromise our ability to wield Jesus' suffering love. So as a prayer to end this opening period, I'd like Shane to come forward and lead 359. We can sing that as a prayer.
Sons of earth, let us Lord, hear.